You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Getting closer by the day to the Saints and Eagles playing. We've been breaking that down. Been listening to what Drew Brees and the Saints have been saying this week as well. Going to focus a lot on the Eagles tomorrow. We're at Deuce McAllister's old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Drew Brees this week already saying it. Got to focus and enjoy what's going on right now.
I mean, I always appreciate these moments, but just, you know, you never know how many more there are. So you just stay in the moment and enjoy it as much as possible.
This hour is going to be focused on the NFL playoffs, the divisional round games. There's four, of course, including the Saints and Eagles. Robert Meacham won the Super Bowl, as you know, in 2009. And Eric Alexander, back in the day with the Patriots, won the Super Bowl as well. When he joins us at Vinny's, I like to call it two bowls and a natty. He won the national championship with the LSU Tigers, part of LSU game day on CST as well. So both of these gentlemen are going to be talking about the playoffs, Phillies, Eagles. Phillies and New Orleans, you know, game as well. So we'll touch on all of that. Plus the other games too, because Eric, I keep asking people, the AFC, is it wide open or not? So I'm looking forward to getting your take on that. Randy from the West Bank, thanks for holding on. Promise we'd lead off with you. Go.
Hey, what's up, Gus? How you doing, man? Eric.
Good, man.
Robert. Hey, I had a question for Eric and for Robert. I think I'll start first for Robert. My second favorite team outside the Saints, like, I guess if we didn't have a team. So it's been the Chargers, and I've always thought that Phillip Rivers was the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. And if I had to have anybody besides Drew Brees at the helm, it would be Phillip Rivers. And you had the chance to play with both of them. And I don't want to say it didn't work, but I guess it didn't work. I don't know what happened exactly.
You were right. It didn't work.
Well, I mean, I don't know what happened behind the scenes, you know. I mean, but does he just seem like to have that gunslinger mentality at quarterback? And that's what I like. He's aggressive and he gets in your face, you know, if you don't do your job. And that's what I like out of a quarterback. And I definitely think he's the first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback for sure. What exactly, you know, didn't work, you know, between you and Phillip? Because it seemed like he's a great quarterback, and so is Drew, and you had so much success with Drew, you know?
They're two different quarterbacks. Their mindset, the way they approach the game is totally different. And when you're young and you're coming from Drew from five years being with him, and you're in a routine that he does, I didn't realize that when Drew went out before the game and we warmed up with him, it was a chemistry that we had. And with Phillip doesn't do that. He saves himself to when everybody comes out before a game. And that kind of threw me off. Getting booed in your home stadium when you're coming out, a lot of those things plays a part. I don't think it was me and Phillip, issue with me and Phillip. I just think it wasn't the right fit for me.
Offensive right. Systems are different too as well, right? How players are used and how plays are called and just things of that nature?
Well, yes. I mean, I went in that offense feeling like you paid me to be the guy, and pretty much
they did.
Throws would be coming to me a lot. And when it wasn't, it was like, okay, what's going on? And now then the next year you have a guy that breaks his ankle and then they put him in front of you. You're like, okay, the writing's in the wall. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to have a rocket science to figure this out. This is not working.
And just to add on to that,
people
don't really realize when you go to a different team and you're used to a certain way of doing things and you're used to a certain routine, going to a new team and it being totally flipped upside down, it's tough. It can be tough on the players. And a lot of people think that, okay, he's on a new team, he should just perform and just keep it going just like he had in the past. But when just changing organizations, I mean, even from the top down, even if the owner is different and he has a different mindset of how he, you know, manages the team, it could really have an effect on your game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Sean Payton had a lot to do with that, too. But, I mean, I was just wondering, you know, because we had to, if I can remember right, we had to choose between you and Colson at the time because we didn't have the money to pay both. And obviously, you know, Sean let you go, but then we picked you back up. But in the locker room, you know, when you do get paid that type of money and they bring you in as a free agent, do you not get frustrated and go to them and say, hey, man, look, you're paying me this type of money. You brought me in. Get me the ball.
Oh, yes, you get frustrated. As a competitor, period, you get frustrated. Yes, you, and as a receiver, we play a dependent position. We always want the ball. And, yeah, they call us the prima donnas on the field or the ballerinas. But if you see how we have the toe touch to stay in bounds and all those type of things, yes, you want the ball every play. But you also want to win, you know, and – when you right. go to another team and, like I said, coming from this stadium, it come from this fan base, and then and being in San Diego, we played against the Cowboys in the preseason, and we get booed at our own home. That was
terrible.
Really different, you know, for me. I'd never been booed at a home game. And then we played against the Broncos in the regular season or the Raiders, and we was getting booed. And I'm talking about as you calling out your starters. So that means they had more fans at our home game than we did.
Does that affect you as a player, yeah. Honestly? Do you hear that?
It affected me out there because I guess it was just like Eric said, it was just so – it was a different culture, and it wasn't what I was used to.
Especially, guys, I got to imagine because both of you guys had success and won Super Bowls. When you have that environment, you know it works, and it gets to that, and then you go to another team – different environment, different players, different locker rooms. It's got to be a shock to your system to an extent.
Also, too, I don't think North Coach Turner had as much as control as Coach Payton does here at the time.
Oh, no doubt.
So I think that plays a big role in it, too, because if he's calling plays for you to get the ball and it's getting audible or you have a fumble snap or you have something go wrong, then it's not on him. You know, or whatever. And it was times at practice where I can remember one time I think Phillip dropped back and he got ready to throw the ball and the ball fell out his hand. Well, in the game, that's a fumble. And we went and played against Carolina that Sunday and it happened in the game, but nobody said nothing about it at practice. So when we got in the game, it happened and it's like, okay, they just let stuff go. And when you coming from the Saints organization where that
Sean
is a big
never
deal.
Let that slide.
Right, and that was a big deal. So, I mean, a lot of things played a big role in it. And also, too, maybe I shouldn't have went to a team that where Drew Brees left from. Maybe I should have went to the Rams or to Miami Dolphins.
Never thought about that from that aspect of it, right? That's true. If they didn't think that Drew was good enough and you left, I like that.
Did you like Phillip? Robert,
oh yeah, I like him as a quarter. I like him as a quarterback because you like that quarterback that's gonna get in your face, and you know when he has, you know, gets in your face and talks, you know, what I'm saying, talk trash to the other team. You know, you like that. But the one thing that I love about Drew was when Drew made a mistake, he was mad at himself and he took it out on himself. And a lot of times when you in that position. A lot of times you don't look at it as when you make a mistake. You don't talk about your mistake. But everybody else's mistakes might be talked about. Yes.
That's good. Thank you, Randy. Yeah. Appreciate the phone call, man.
All right. Thank you, guys. You have a good one.
For sure. Sounds good. All right, Eric, let's get into the AFC over here. Colts and Chiefs, the first game on Saturday. That game will be on NBC, 3:35. Immediately, right, the first thing that pops in your head is Andrew Luck versus Pat Mahomes here. But I take a quicker look, or a little longer look, rather, and, dude, Indy's got a shot here because of defenses. The Colts' defense, as of late, has been really playing well. I've been looking at some of the stats the NFL Live has been showing here. Indy's defense not allowing points. They pretty much kept Deshaun Watson and the Texans in check. And we know Kansas City's Achilles heel this year has been the defense.
Yeah, I think the Colts really have a good chance of winning this game. I mean, and a quarterback that hadn't really been talked about, has kind of slipped under the radar.
Yeah.
Is, you know, number Andrew, 12 on another team. You know, I mean, he threw for 4,500 yards this year.
Right.
39 touchdowns. And he, I mean, nobody's even really talking about him. He had an unbelievable season, especially after missing all of 2017, right?
Yeah.
So I think he gives them a chance, and obviously their defense gives them a chance. But also, when you look at this game, who is all the pressure on? Who is all the pressure on? The Chiefs. Pressure is on the Chiefs. So, you know, so if the Colts can come in and score early and get the Chiefs on their heels, back on their heels, they definitely have a chance of winning this game.
I feel like the big play guy for the Colts, cause I feel like it's going. I feel like the Colts are going to win this game, but I feel like they're going to win with Mack, their running back. I feel like he reminds me of Arian Foster. You know, he always getting positive yards.
908 yards, 9 touchdowns.
And I think, like E said, I think he's an underrated guy as well. You know, you know about T.Y. Hilton. Everybody knows what he can do, but Mac and Andrew Luck haven't been getting their credit this year.
You know, it's crazy when you take a look at, again, like some of the statistics and things that they've been able to do on a defensive end. I mean, the Colts have stopped some pretty good teams, some pretty good offenses. They shut out the Cowboys in Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it from that perspective, you know, again, I get the Chiefs and Mahomes and all that. And the thing that I've always said, if the Saints ever had to face them in the game of game, you got to wait till 0-0, because that guy in that Monday night game threw picks, there were fumbles, and that guy still threw 6 touchdowns and didn't quit. So he's already shown me in 1 year of starting, until you tell him the game is over, he's going to keep bringing it, and that's something that I think is special. But I think this game could be fun to watch.
I think it will, too. I mean, yeah, their defense has played well, and I don't think the Chiefs' offensive line has protected Mahomes as well as they would have liked. So you put some pressure on him and see what he does. I mean, and these younger quarterbacks, too, in the playoffs, they hadn't really fared very well. So it's going to be a real interesting game.
Josh, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003. What you got, man?
Thanks for taking my call, Josh. Love the show.
For sure.
Colts are going to blow out the Chiefs. And when I say blow out, I mean 2 touchdowns. If you look at the Chiefs, they've actually, 9 of their games this year, they've faced teams with a bottom third pass defense. And if you look at the Colts, scoring defense since week 12, they're number 1. The Colts are no joke, and Andrew Luck should win the MVP if we're talking about playoffs. But, I see a Colts Saints Super Bowl, and people don't realize the Colts are the second best team left in the NFL. So, have a good one, fellas. Thank you.
It's very funny that he says that, because the year that we won the Super Bowl, have you realized the schedule?
It's identical. I mean, only like, two the losses,
teams,
right.
The only two teams that we didn't face, that we faced in 09 was Buffalo and Minnesota in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have, you have Philly, of course, but that would have been the Cardinals for us.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So this to say what he just said, if the Saints and the Colts end up in the Super Bowl again, that would be pretty ironic.
Look, I mean, you take a look at, you know, the matchups too, because on the other side, it's the Sunday noon game, 12:05 on CBS, and it's the Chargers at New England. Again, sort of the situation here. I think the road team has a good chance here as well. Look, I know you know the Patriots pretty well, but they don't seem like they're as invincible as they have been in the past. Yet here they are, first round bye again. It's the second seed rather than the second, and they haven't lost at home.
They haven't lost at home, but the Chargers have proven that they can win on the road as well. So the Patriots have their hands full. But when I look at, this will be the Chargers' third game in a row playing on the road. They're playing in Foxborough, away from home, away from the, you know, Chargers will be away from their families. For the third weekend in a row.
What about Philly?
I think it's going to be a tall task for the Chargers. Yeah, they have the team to do it. They have the quarterback to do it. They have the defensive players to give Tom and that team some trouble moving the ball. But until they do it, I like the Patriots in this one.
Hey Gus.
Yes, sir.
Would you, mind for a second if I just cut in?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got to do this because Robert Meacham tweaked my melon on something. In 2009,
mm-hmm.
Do you know how much we beat Philadelphia in the regular season?
Okay, bye.
48-22.
Okay.
This year we beat them 48-7.
Right.
Deja vu.
There you go.
You can find all kind of different similarities going into this.
Well, it would have been 48 if Sharper don't take a 99-yard touchdown back.
Right.
Against Foles. That's who he had to make miss.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just saying.
Yeah, one of the things when you look at the, those matchups in the AFC here as well, you got to have those young – I mean, you got to have quarterbacks. I mean, we talked about this last week, Eric, that the quarterback play and just the caliber of quarterback over in the AFC that you can see in the six teams that we're playing, you got to have somebody that can go out there and fling it and wing it, man. And, again, I look at it – I mean, Rivers – and Brady and Mahomes and Luck. I mean, those are some of the best in the game right now playing at it. And I think it's going to come down to them, but it's always on the defensive side who can make that one play, that one stop, and Robert, that forces maybe a field goal, right? Just hold them to a field goal instead of seven if you can go get seven.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at last week's game, Chargers and the Ravens, I mean, their defense played just about as good as you could play. But but it all came down to the last quarter. It's always going to come down to the last quarter. I mean, Lamar Jackson still had a chance, gave the Ravens a chance to win at the end, but just couldn't pull it off. But that's just because he played so poorly the first three quarters of the game, that they were just so far ahead that they really couldn't, you know, do anything.
Quick break. When we come back, we'll focus on the games over in the NFC. Eric Alexander, Robert Meacham, you got any phone calls, comments, or questions to the guys? Both of them have won a Super Bowl. Feel free, 800-998-1003. We're live at Vinny's. Stop on by, 3217 Ridgelake. Maybe the lovely Sarah will grace us with her. There it is. There's the snarl. There it is. It is a lovely snarl. Always so happy. She'll tell us about all the specials and things that are going on here at Vinny's, including when you can meet and hang out with DJ Nasty, Eric.
DJ Nasty.
Even though Jordan keeps calling him Big Nasty. That's kind of two different things there. DJ Nasty and the Big Nasty, right? No doubt. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. But I must do
the wrong call. Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town, and we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Louisiana broadcasters are looking for the best of the best.
Announcing the 2019 LAB Broadcast Scholarship Program.
Two $2,000 scholarships are available to Louisiana broadcasting students.
For complete details,
call 1-800-364-7260 or go to www.broadcasters.org to apply. The Louisiana Association of Broadcasters Scholarship Program. Good for you. Good for us. Great for Louisiana.
Have you been suffering with neck or low back pain? Disc of Louisiana offers the most precise techniques and least invasive surgical procedures to give you your life back. Wake up with only a Band-Aid after surgery. Disc of Louisiana, now accepting appointments in Houma, Metairie, and around the North Shore. Visit GoSpine.com. That's GeauxSpine.com to make an appointment today.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Sean Payton from his conference call this morning talking about the mindset that you need to have from the last meeting against the Eagles.
Yeah, well, I talked all week. The one thing
at the start of the week was, hey, you know, everyone typically has a routine, and my message was protect your routine. You know, yesterday, 2 days ago, you know, before the weekend, we were at 12 in this tournament, and all of a sudden it went to 8. I said, well, the amount of people covering football games hasn't changed. The amount of teams playing in them has, and so that just means more in wanting more. And protect your routine. Make sure that, you know, that we stay the course relative to what we do in regards to recovery, treatment, you know, the mental preparation, all of those things, and playing at home, you know, making sure we don't allow the people closest to us to become distractions with additional tickets, and, you know, kind of handle that and kind of stay on schedule.
You know, it's almost like he's actually been in LA. Is that not exactly what Robert Meacham said earlier in the show? Exactly, almost word for word, Robert, you said about staying in your routine and also limiting the distractions. You literally said almost kind of have to be selfish this week. Family has to understand. I mean, you literally just said that about an hour ago, and there's Sean.
Well, I never heard his speech, so but I just know far as what he put in us back in those, you know, back in 09 and all those years. I know what he put in us and what the veteran guys put in me. Mm-hmm. So that's the same thing. It's like, it's your routine. Whatever you do, don't change it, because it made you who you are. And for this season, now next season, you know, you're going to change it, whatever your goals is for yourself and for the team, you change right. that. But for right now, whatever you've been doing, do it. But tell your family and your friends, like, listen, this is not a week to, I'm going to stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, mm-hmm. laughing and joking. No, I got to get my rest. I got to do everything, whatever your preparation is, from chiropractic work to deep tissue massages, whatever that is, extra training, whatever it is, extra film study, you have to do it.
Eric, what was the Belichick way during playoffs?
Well, I mean, I think he had a similar message. I mean, whatever got you to this point in the season, continue to do that. Obviously, you're playing at home. You know, you are going to have those distractions, but I feel like the Saints are a veteran team, you know, for the most part. And when you look at what they accomplished last year, they knew what their goals were for this year after losing that game last year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They already had their minds set that they were going to be at this point.
It's a very good point.
Last year, so they know what it takes, and they know what they have to do. They know the type of focus that they're going to have to win this game and contend in the playoffs.
Robert, that's a good point that he brings up, too, because this is a team, and I brought this up with you, because Armstead said, hey, look, you're either a rookie or you're a veteran. Yes, this is a young team, but they won or played two postseason games last year, won one, could have won another one in Minnesota with that comeback there. How much can coming up short kind of fuel you for that next run? Because remember,
well,
in 2009, remember, it was finished strong.
For New England and for the Saints.
Right.
You know, they have that same feeling. New England should have walked off the field and beat, you know what I'm saying, Atlanta. I mean, they did, but I'm saying Atlanta would have had that same feeling. I'm sorry.
Got you.
Atlanta would have had that same feeling, like E said. Now, the Saints have the same feeling because of, you walk off the field in Minnesota, you had that bad taste in your mouth. Okay, how do we get back here so we won't have this feeling again?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things when we look at the NFC matchups, obviously we'll focus on Saints-Eagles most of the rest of the show here at the bottom of this hour. We'll turn our attention to that. But the other matchup is an interesting one. You have Dallas and the Rams. I think it can be as important as just seeing Gurley. When Gurley was going earlier in the season and he was kind of really the mainstay, I remember some games early in the year with the Rams, he was just smoking people. He'd run by you, he'd run over you, and it just opened up the passing game. To your point, you keep thinking, and I'm teasing, where you think could be some of the keys for the Saints with number 22. But Sean McVay, yesterday in his press conference on Todd Gurley's health.
He's feeling good. He's going to practice. We're going to follow a normal routine as when he's been going this season. So he didn't have any soreness from yesterday, and you know he's going to take part in practice. He was out there for the walkthrough this morning, so very good news on that front. Got a kick out of joking with me that he was real sore today. I didn't think it was that funny.
He's pretty important. And then, of course, on the other side, it's Aaron Donald, the Rams' D-line, Dak Prescott.
Incredible pass rush. I mean, one of the best players in the NFL, obviously, is part of that front defensive four. And just they don't do anything, obviously, crazy complicated when you have those four guys up front and when they get after it like no other. So credit them, but we've got a great plan for it.
Eric, we'll start with you. Then, Robert, what do you think of this matchup between the Rams and the Cowboys?
Well, when I look at this game, I look and focus on the running games for both teams, because Dallas's game plan should be they're going to have to control the game, keep the Rams' offense off the field by feeding Ezekiel Elliott and seeing, giving him the ball, controlling the run game, and they're going to have to score points, obviously. But the way they can control the tempo of the game is by giving the ball to Zeke and having him do what he does with the ball in his hands. You know, the Rams, when they can get after the quarterback with four, they can, you know, they don't have to, and they can cover out back with seven, that's going to create some problems for Dak Prescott. So they're going to have to run the ball, force the Rams to bring a couple people more down in the box to be able to stop Zeke. Once that happens, that may open up some things out back for the passing game. But until the Rams can stop Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys run game, until they do that, I give the advantage to the Cowboys just because I think.
Wow.
And I think because without a healthy Todd Gurley on the other side, the running game is just going to predict how this game is going to go.
I feel the same way he feels. Todd Gurley is, he's the X factor, I think, for this game. He hasn't been tackled in a while, and I'm curious to see how that's going to affect his mental toughness, for this game. You have a knee injury or something like that. You're always kind of timid at first. And the way that Dallas linebackers are playing, they're playing lights out.
Yeah.
And running games really haven't been working on these guys. And like, go back to what E said too. With Dallas, you know, everything goes behind Ezekiel. But if the running game is not open, how does the Cowboys' weapon as Amari Cooper, who guards him? Do they go zone coverage and keep Patterson off of him? Or do they go man coverage and have somebody following? I'm very curious to see. But I'm like, I kind of give the advantage to the Cowboys in this game, because when you saw Kansas City and the Rams play, you saw it was no defensive game.
That's right. I was just going to go into that because I wanted Eric's point or take on when you saw the Bears-Rams game. He just – no offense, I don't like to keep bringing it up, but it looked like that Seattle game, you know, with the Saints offense,
yeah,
where it's just they looked uncomfortable. Goff looked uncomfortable. You know, the offense just looked uncomfortable.
He never got in a rhythm.
Right, he just looked like he didn't want to be there. His hands were always in his hand warmer. It looked like he was focusing on it was cold. You know what I'm getting at? It just, yeah, it didn't look right. It looked like it was a blowout.
It do get cold, yeah, when nothing is working. Like, you start out warm, but when everything you're calling isn't right, working, yes, now you're really cold.
So in other words, in New England, it was always hot for you, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Things,
yeah,
exactly.
Well, he played defense, you know, so it was different It was different for E on the defense side of the ball, because he get the run and just hit you.
Right.
Me, I got to focus on catching the ball and trying to make him miss at the same time. And if it's zone coverage, I got to put myself in a position to protect myself from E. Or vice versa. He got to put himself in a position to make the play, mm-hmm, if it's run or pass.
And I guess, Eric, what I wanted to bring you to was that Bears game, in which linebacking play played a huge part of it, stopping Gurley. Whether or not he was 100% healthy or not, I don't remember, but they stopped him. You know, mm-hmm, I mean, there was a streak there where you could see Todd just, he couldn't do what he wanted to do, and it affected everybody. Look, I know they got Brandon Cooks. I think losing some receivers and some health there has helped, has hurt the Rams there as well. So I'm with you. Look, I just go back to that Saints-Cowboys game. I still to this day think it's just a game plan. You just crumple up and you throw it in a wastebasket. Mm-hmm. They didn't try to run the football against him or thought they could, whatever the reason is. But I think there is a chance, and I think it does come down to Dak Prescott making plays. And making a play could just be 3rd-and-6 converting on a first down. Doesn't necessarily have to mean 4-touchdown game. He just has to keep the sticks moving, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and you also...
Because then if you're the Rams, not to interrupt you, you start doubting, right? I mean, because they hosted last year and lost. Mm-hmm. So if you make... I think the closer that game stays for the longer it does, it helps Dallas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know it won't be a true home game for the Rams when you look at how well the Cowboy fans travel. And, you know, I mean... You know, they're probably going to have just as many Cowboys fans in that stadium as they will have L.A. Rams fans in that stadium. So it won't be a true home game. So I don't think the home field advantage won't truly be there. But, yeah, I mean, Dallas's defense, you know, if they're going to play, I think they're going to play well. I think they win with their defense. To be honest, I mean, I you know, you get the Rams, you know, playing on their heels and just, you know, just that doubt starts to creep in as the game goes on and they're not pulling away from people, and it gives the Cowboys a chance at the end.
You know, it's funny you just say that because literally, Dak Prescott yesterday, and I'm grabbing it for you right now. Here it is, talking about the fan base that could be over there in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. Offensively, especially, hopefully, the crowd is quiet. And it's not as crazy as some games, obviously, you go into and all 90% of the or 95% of the people are against you. Going to this game, knowing the support that we have, obviously, on the West Coast, having training camp out there. Hopefully, yeah, there's a good bit of Cowboy fans and respect this one. We're on offense, but hey, if not, it'd be part of it, and we're ready for that too.
It's crazy the support they have out there, and you know, they think. Were you on a team when you trained at Oxnard, or you wanted to, right? And oh, you practiced against them over there.
No, we had a training camp at Oxnard.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
yeah. He Coach Playton played us.
Right.
We left for we had an extra week of training camp. Mm-hmm. We stayed out there.
That's what
extra,
it was.
We,
right.
we stayed out. We for, came. We left from Houston.
Game. Right. Right.
Left from Houston and stayed out there an extra week to play against Oakland.
Right.
And we were all mad because he still had us in full pads, and it's like, Coach, like, come on now. But it actually worked out how he had it was because he didn't want us to come off the last season, you know what I'm saying, feeling like, oh, the first game is going to be easy,
right.
Cakewalk.
I got you. Easy enough. When we return, we'll ask Eric Alexander, Robert Meacham to kind of delve into the Saints and Eagles game. Give me some matchups and keys. Eric, obviously, you're the defensive guy. Give me some keys on both sides that you can see. Eric, shockingly, I'll ask you offensively to do that as well. So Sports Hangover, Gus Kattiger along with Eric Alexander and Robert Meacham. It's the Sports Hangover live at Vinny's on this Thursday, January 10th on ESPN New Orleans.
Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state-licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving, and foundations to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
Your promotion to CIO, Chief Ink Officer.
Because this week at Staples, when you buy one HP ink cartridge, you'll get a second 30% off.
With savings that big, you'll be the director of deals, the president of printing.
Buy one HP ink and get a second 30% off. Plus, save up to 40% on select HP printers. Now at Staples.
Where there's a whole lot in store.
Ends 1/12/19. Restrictions may apply. See store associate or staples.com/ink savings for details.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet, the back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it, but it's all about the look. And I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
When the sun comes up, people around here are already in motion. Vision Communications is no exception. We've built miles and miles of fiber optic network right here. Our goal is simple, constant improvement, so we can continue to bring your family quality service for telephone, internet, television, and home security. Day in and day out, we will not stop moving forward. We call it bringing you a better vision. More than a slogan, it's a promise. Vision Communications.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter Brooklyn was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I gotta work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Not the only one doing the healthy wrap. Robert Meacham ordered the same thing. Robert, you see how big these wraps are?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Eric Alexander. Robert Meacham, as we kind of focus here on the Saints and Eagles here, play a couple of sound bites. DeMario Davis, because I wanted to see your take on the defense. Look, the numbers are the numbers. The stats are the stats. Philadelphia's been playing solid football and defensive end here as well. And a lot of the attention, obviously, is on Nick Foles and the Eagles offense. When you look at what Foles does in this Eagles offense, how would you sort of defend them? Because you sort of hear DeMario here touch on what their offense sort of does, okay? So hear what he has to say and then your take.
They got some really explosive tight ends. You gotta be locked in on your assignment. You gotta use really good technique when playing against guys like that. They got some explosive running backs coming out the backfield, really good receivers. You know, it's a tough matchup, and they got a quarterback that can get them the ball.
So when you – and I asked Robert this earlier, when you have an offense that uses the two tight ends the way they do in their dynamic, they can – go down the field and make, you know, catches. And Robert referenced the fact that they can block here as well. You don't know if they're going to do one or the other because they run the routes kind of the same. How does that provide a challenge for you as a linebacker?
Well, I mean, it depends. Are we playing man-to-man or are we going to play zone on these tight ends? I don't expect much man-to-man from the Saints defensively this game. But when you look at both teams overall, the Saints have the edge in the running game. The Saints have the edge in the passing game, especially when you compare Foles' last few games starting versus Drew Brees. Foles has thrown at least one interception in each game. When you look at just last week, I mean,
right,
two interceptions that the Bears got off Foles. He hadn't really been playing that well. The odds are definitely in the Saints' favor when you get to that. Two tight ends, yeah, they're tough. I mean, but Zach Ertz ain't gonna kill you. He's not gonna do enough to hurt you that much to where you feel threatened. I know he's had an incredible year. He's played very well this year, probably exceeded, you know, his expectation and a lot of people's expectations. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's a guy who can take over the game,
okay,
and beat you. And their running game is it's really non-existent. Yes, you have to be prepared for Sproles coming out of the backfield.
I agree. I know Coach Payton's talked a lot about him. This is not the Darren Sproles from a couple of years ago, though, right? He's been battling some injuries. He still can help. He still can hurt you, Robert, but it's not the same Darren Sproles.
Don't matter. His experience
is
what helps. And I think last week, too, with the way the left tackle played for the Eagles.
Yep.
It really helped their game planning and not having to chip. And you had an extra guy being able to go out and catch a ball. I think the way that Cam comes off, do you chip him? I think that plays a role in this game because that takes away from that guy getting out and putting stress in the coverage of his zone or of his man. You know, I think that helps as well.
A lot of the other things, too, you hear about Foles – Eric is his ability to just say he's just going to he's a progression quarterback. He's going to go through the reads and do all those things. It's the obvious thing that everybody always says, put pressure on a quarterback. I get that. How can you maybe avoid that timing of that progression and sort of do that? Is it changing your looks? I'm like, at this point, everyone has so much film on you. What sort of defensive wrinkles? We always hear, and Robert's touched on, offensive wrinkles that perhaps Sean Payton may show that's different in formations. Can you do that with defense? You never really hear a lot of people talk about that, right? What wrinkles can you show defensively?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like a chess match, right? I would show, you know, a lot of the times I would try to confuse Foles in this way. I would crowd the line of scrimmage. I would crowd the line of scrimmage to let him not know who is coming and who's not coming. I would crowd the line of scrimmage I put my linebackers in the A gaps at times, you know, six guys across the line of scrimmage so he can't know exactly who's coming or it's a different person coming each time. So, you know, it's all about, you know, the element of surprise, you know, one time that guy came, you know, one time he didn't come, one time he dropped in coverage. Are they playing zone?
We've seen Sheldon Rankins drop in coverage, so D Lyman can drop in coverage. You see Cam Jordan do it.
Yeah, you see it a lot.
Davenport's done.
And they're capable of doing it. So I think you try to confuse Foles in that way, by crowding the line of scrimmage at obviously you don't do it every play, but right. as a changeup, crowd the line of scrimmage to where he can't call out the mic. He can't call out, who do we need to protect with my five guys on the line of scrimmage. And if you can confuse him in that way, and like I said, he's thrown some interceptions, like you drop the right person out at the right time and he won't even see him and he can throw it right to him.
And Robert, to that point, I remember back, especially even in that 2009 season, in that run when you were part of the team and really the offense was like that. Carolina, we've talked about this before, right? They tried to be physical and sort of do what he did. Even if it just disrupts the timing aspect of it by a split hair, a split second, it can affect the route and the play.
Of course. A little split set timing, like E said, you drop a – I love that prowl of defense where nobody gets down in the stands because it's so confusing for us as receivers, as running backs. It's like, okay, like I seen one time where Hakeem Hicks dropped back in coverage. Mm-hmm. Like you love to see them do that because like he said, who is the mic? Because now he's totally different. He's in a different spot than where he's normally at and it's easy. Like, okay, yeah, 52 is the mic. That's easy. No. Now, like he said, you give him different coverages and different schemes, but like I would put six in the box. I would put two in the A gap because when I saw the Colts do it against last week when they played against the Texans, they did it. They put the two guards in the A gap. That messed up everything for the Texans. Deshaun Watson couldn't run, so it keeps him in the pocket.
Interesting.
It's a lot of things that the defense do that the normal eye can't see, mm-hmm. but us as players, like, oh no, they didn't do this on film.
It's funny
this
you say that new. Because Nick Foles and this Eagles offense, I've heard a lot of the national people say what's really working. Deuce Windham of The Athletic, he's the film study guy for them, and he says they've been doing a lot of slant or flat routes. That's what's been successful for them. So if you know that, I mean, that's what they're doing. It's quick slants, get the ball out. If it's not there, it's a flat route. So it's a read where I'm either going slant or I'm going flat. If I know that too, kind of to Robert's point, and you crowd the line of scrimmage, that's a lot of congestion inside those 10 yards and a lot of bodies in there. it's not going to allow for a lot of yards after the catch. So if you tackle, you can almost kind of control that offense to your point. They won with 16 points last week. They've won some of these games by 3 or 4 points. They're capable of scoring, but it's probably more of getting off the field on third down. But is that what you're kind of telling yourself? Hey, look, they're going to get rid of the ball. Maybe it's not maybe a sack game because he didn't get sacked last week by the Bears. It's right. more of a tackle game and making sure a pass to Robert for 2-3 yards and turns to 12.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, if it's going to be a, you know, if they come with the same game plan to where they want it, they plan on hitting flat routes. And I mean, you shut that down with cover two. You just corner just hangs out in the flat. You shut that down. But if you're crowding the line of scrimmage, you don't know who's dropping and he drops under one of those slants. I mean, that could be end up being a great play, for the Saints. So, you know, you just gotta be smart, you know, and not try to show the same looks. Disguise will be very important in this game when you're playing. You know, Nick Foles, he's shown that he's good enough to play on this level, and he's played well, especially in the playoffs when you count last year mm-hmm. and this year. So he's shown that he can do it. It's just what looks are going to be familiar with him to where he can kind of already know what to do pre-snap.
All right, we'll take the quick break. When we come back, final segment, we'll focus on the offense. Robert, give us some cues and keys that you think that you can do, because this Eagles defense has sort of stepped up their game here as well. And again, as we talked about, we honestly probably won't know how healthy this O-line is until the game goes. I mean, you won't know if that shoulder feels well. You don't know if this knee feels well, or the hammy, or the foot, or the hand, or whatever that's ailing some of these guys. So how do you game plan for that? Do you go into thinking they're healthy, or do you go into it as maybe let's try to take some shots early? I'll ask Grabo when we come back, along with Eric Alexander. Thanks for staying with us as we wrap up here from Vinny's Next on ESPN New Orleans.
Hey. Hey, it's Matt Moscona inviting you to join me weekdays for After Further Review. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Saints, Tigers, Pelicans, weekdays from 3 until 6 on ESPN New Orleans.
New Orleans Pelicans basketball. Do it big.
Lob for the rim. One-hand alley-oop. Smashed down by Anthony Davis.
No, he didn't.
Picks it up, shoots for three. Good, good, good. Drew Holiday.
Hi, this is Sean Kelly. Join Daniel Salerson and me as the Pelicans take on the Minnesota Timberwolves Saturday at 7 on ESPN Radio, New Orleans.
How would you like to save up to $500 on your next vacation package? Any vacation package anywhere in the world. Just call Superior Travel and mention the code RADIO and save up to $500. We'll design a custom, fantastic vacation just for you, with all the bells and whistles. Not some cookie-cutter vacation, but a unique, all-included vacation customized by one of our exclusive travel experts. And our service is completely free. You pay nothing more. So why waste your time? Let us do it for you. We've got over 100 years of travel experience to help create the perfect trip for you. Call now and learn how to save up to $500 on your next custom vacation. Pick up the phone, call Superior Travel, and use the code word RADIO.
800-398-9233. 800-398-9233. That's 800-398-9233.
Everyone needs a fresh start for the new year, and extra cash sure can help. Homa Credit has loans of $300 and up for all occasions. Homa Credit offers fast, friendly service and payments to fit your budget. Homa Credit even accepts phone applications, and they're locally owned and operated. Call 985-223-1085, call 985-223-1085, or check them out on Facebook. Homa Credit.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Or every team they play is very game plan specific. You know, Jim Schwartz has done a great job with that defense, you know, since he's been there. And obviously, they've had a lot of guys banged up this year, and which he deserves even more credit. You know, done a phenomenal job with the way that they've had to, you know, shift and move at times, and a lot of guys playing different positions and being shuffled around. But I think they've done a great job with it. You know, when we played them early in the season, they just lost one of their corners, and so you know, they had to shuffle and then they lost one or two in the game. So I think you see them over the last 4 or 5 weeks, you know, coming into their own. Again, you know, each team they play, there's a different game plan, but you know, whatever they do, they do it well, they execute it well.
Saints quarterback Drew Brees on the Eagles secondary. During the break there, you would just say that there was a particular corner that exposed himself. You guys see the game differently than we do, right? I see it, it's an incompletion. You're seeing it as, hey, we can maybe exploit this. What was it you saw in that Bears game that makes you think that the Saints and Drew Brees particularly can have some success this Sunday?
Well, once again, like you said, if we have all of our linemen healthy and ready to roll, that would help with the timing. But I would think the backside corner with the dreads, can't think of his name right now, he exposed himself, like wanting to look in the backfield. He wanted to get the pick so bad. I think double moves would kill him. I think when you need a big first down, I think you put Malcolm Jenkins on the other side away from him so he can't help it. And I think you put the corner and a safety in a bind that way. If we can hold up and with our timing, I think that's an interesting game plan coming off the bus. I think Sean saw that and like, okay, he beat him twice on two different double moves. Okay, I got him.
And it could be something you say for later in a game or
Certain
point?
Oh, yes. I'll run a slant with Michael Thomas. But like you said, the game plan shows that the Saints run a lot of slants and a lot of quick game. I would show him something quick in the beginning of the game and let him see it two or three times. And then, boom, right when we need it, bombs over Baghdad. It was just like it was when we played against Washington. Like I was explaining to E when we was off the air, LaRon Landry was a big hit guy. We knew that as a safety. And, you know, sorry that Derry had to take the bunt of the hit to, you know, to start it off.
Right.
And when he did it, you know, Colson came back two plays later, deep in and go, touchdown. Later in the game, to send us to overtime, I run a deep in and go, catch it, touchdown. Because what we saw on film, how aggressive LaRon was.
When you have an offensive line, sort of like the Saints are banged up on the defensive end, the Eagles, what do you think they try to do differently? I mean, they got bombed 48, you know, points. Obviously, it's going to be different, but do I try defensively say, let's see if these guys are healthy? Am I blitzing all day, every day? If I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose with Drew having to do that.
Oh, yeah, you're going to try them. Yeah, you got to. You have to. I mean, and that's why that bye week and being the number one seed was so important to the Saints, because it allowed some of these guys to heal up. And now, you know, supposedly the Saints are at full strength on the offensive line. Now, we don't know how, you know, once you get in game-like situations, you don't know how well they're going to hold up. So you got to test them. You got to test them early.
Got about a minute and a half here, Robert. Final thoughts on it.
I agree with E. You got to. Because early in the season when we played them, we picked up every blitz that they had. Drew was able to get the ball out. I would do the same thing, because I just, like E said, I just want to see how healthy your lineman is. May not happen in the first three quarters, but in the fourth quarter, when everything is, the stress is on, when the pressure is on, will Armstead arm hold up? Will Bushrod hamstring hold up? You know, will Pete's ankle or hand or whatever it was, will that all that hold up?
Key for the Saints guys to get some points early. I don't think Philly has that offense to kind of get in the track meet.
No, I mean, and you know, I think that the running back side of the backfield are going
to
be huge.
We haven't even got to Mark.
Yeah,
I think that's the biggest offensive defensive game plan. Like he said, I would think you run the ball with Mark or Kamara. Or Taysom Hill, you run the ball and you take time off the clock to keep the ball out of foes' hands.
Who wins?
Saints.
Saints just have a better team. I mean, when you look at it from not just from a statistical standpoint,
right,
just overall, I mean, they have the better team and they should win.
Our thanks to Jake Madison and Mike Triplett for joining us. If you missed it, you can always go on our SoundCloud page, podcast, or bother Jordan on Twitter and tell him, how can I hear the show? We always like to bother Jordan.
That's
Thank
big
you,
nasty.
Sarah.
That's Big Nasty.
Oh, you know what? That is your name now. Big Nasty.
Wow.
Robert Meacham gave you the name. I have to go with it. Thanks to Robert. Thanks to Eric. Thanks to Joey. Matt Muscoden after further review is next. We'll see you tomorrow at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap on ESPN New Orleans.